2 Kings chapter 4, we're looking at verses 8 to 17. This is the Bible story of Elisha and the Shunammite. That's what we pretty much refer to her as. She doesn't have a name in the text. She's one of those nameless people in the Bible. And the theme of tonight's lesson, it could not have been at a better time. It was not timed by me, it was timed by God, and that is the lesson theme of gratitude. Gratitude, thanksgiving, if you will. And we're looking at how Elisha showed it, but also how really the Shunammite also showed it as well. So Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is known as saying this, maybe you've heard this statement before, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh gone, meaning when he stops being grateful for what he has or she has. And we're definitely challenged about being grateful in the Word of God. I know you're in 2 Kings, but I'm going to read to you from Psalm 100. Psalm 100, it's a psalm that I memorized as a child. That was a long time ago. But at the end of the psalm, it says, enter in verse 4, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. See, you already know it. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And here's the key. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. And it doesn't matter if it's what we want it to be in life, the Lord is good. And that's a statement that the psalmist is making. That's a statement that is in right here in inspired scripture. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So sometimes we're going to be grateful because it's easy. There are times when it's easier to be grateful, and then there are times when it's definitely more challenging, and it will have to be more deliberate. Maybe we could say it that way. We'll have to be more deliberate about it. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And so be careful is saying, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't be overly concerned about it. So this, Paul is writing in prison, and he's saying, be careful for nothing. And he's saying, with thanksgiving. So there's a little more deliberate there. There's a little more challenging time, and yet we're still instructed to be people that have gratitude. We're still instructed to be people that are have thanksgiving in our life. And then it's the will of God to be thankful. Some people say, what is the will of God? You know, there are a few verses, there are a few passages that we can take people to with relation to the will of God. One of them is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything, give thanks. For this, giving thanks, is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So if somebody ever asked you, what is the will of God? You can say, well, I don't know what the specific will of God is for you every day of your where you're going to go or to move or to marry or all that stuff. But I do know this, you are to be thankful because that's what God's word says. In everything, give thanks. And again, that's one of those deliberate times that we give thanks. So we express gratitude to people who are kind to us. Hold your finger in 2 Kings. We're going to be right there in just a minute. But go all the way back to Hebrews. We have all experienced people's kindness in our life. We've all experienced people's good deeds. Okay? We can focus on, you know, whatever you want to focus on. Let's choose to focus on the kindness of others. Yet we know the world is full of the other thing, all right? The opposite end of the spectrum. But I love what it says here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 10. Hebrews 6, 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget. Isn't that a great statement? To forget? How many of you have said in the last few days, oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, okay, come on. We got one of the younger guys with his hand up back there. Come on, old people like me. You said it. You thought it if you didn't say it. But here it says God never forgets. Let's see what it says. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. Isn't that something? Whenever we're even serving someone else, it's for the Lord. And that's why we keep doing it, because it's not if they pat us on the back or they send us a text afterwards and say thank you. We should do those things. But it's because it's for the Lord. Notice he says, in that ye have ministered to the who? Saints, believers, not dead people that are in heaven, okay? Saints, that's believers, all right? Don't let a group steal that term, all right? And do minister. So he says, God doesn't forget. You might think, boy, no one's ever said anything to me about thus and so. Don't worry about it. God doesn't forget your work and labor of love. And there's coming a day when all of that will be rewarded and so forth and so on, okay? So let's look at our outline, though. Number one is Elisha's acknowledgement. Elisha's acknowledgement. So Elisha travels to this town in Israel by the name of Shunem. And a woman comes out to meet him. Again, she's not named. Look at verse number 8 of our text, 2 Kings 4:8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Isn't that an interesting statement? You know, we need to just pause and take all this in. No name, but great woman. It's really intriguing how God has these words. She constrained him to eat bread. Hey, I just made a fresh loaf of gluten-free bread. Come on now, right? They didn't have any gluten back in the Bible, right? Come on in and have a seat. She constrained him, though, which means he didn't want to stop. You know, maybe he was on the line to the next place. He was already thinking about where he needed to go, get on down the trail, and I want to get there before it's too dark. It's going to be dark out, and the road is, you know, dangerous. And he goes, I don't have time to stop for tea and bread. I don't have time. She constrained him. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, so it wasn't a one-time trip by this widow's home. Must have lived on a very busy thoroughfare in Shunem, right? Her house was right on the way. And I've written down in my notes the first bed and breakfast ever right here. The first bed and breakfast right here. And better than Motel 6 for sure. If you've never stayed in a Motel 6, don't. Just take my word for it, okay? And it was a roof over my head, all right? And so this was something that Elijah kept doing, though. It was a pattern. It wasn't just one time that the Shunammite and her husband would invite Elisha in, and they would take care of him, and they would feed him. It's interesting here in verse number 9. And she said unto her husband, so they've been doing this now for a while, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. This is not the lesson, but I wonder what caused her to perceive that. And, okay, this isn't about performance, but it's about God is showing us something here, that it does matter what's on the outside. And it matters how we speak. And it matters how we conduct ourselves. Again, this isn't the primary interpretation of what's going on here, but you have to stop and think about what you're reading. How did they perceive that? How did he act? Well, I guarantee he wasn't ornery. Right? I'm not saying he's perfect, but something was about Elisha, and she said, I think this guy's a holy man of God. Yes, he was a prophet. I get that. He was going to do double the miracles of Elijah, which passeth by us continually. Here we go. The first prophet's chamber ever is right here. Let us make a little chamber. And to this day, there are churches that have a room. There's one in Chilliwack, Faith Baptist Church, and they call it a prophet's chamber. It's a place for visitors to come and stay and so forth and so on. Some of them are simple. Some of them are now they've taken it a whole long way. Elisha would love to stay in some of these prophet's chambers that are around today. But here's where you get the term from. How many of you never heard of a prophet's chamber other than this right here, that churches do that? You've never heard of that. Okay, all right. Well, you've heard of it tonight. And we stayed in several of them, 25, 27 years ago. And anyway, there's one in our missionaries that are coming, the family that's coming, the Spanish family that's coming, they're staying in a prophet's chamber. So let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed. Okay, this is furnished, a table, a stool, a candlestick. That's really neat, isn't it? And I've got all these things running through my mind. Stay with it, all right. Don't get off. Help me, Lord. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. Let us make him a little chamber. So letter A, the prophet, he accepted her aid. He accepted her aid. Sometimes it's difficult to accept the service of others. Often, maybe we feel self-conscious about it, or maybe even our pride gets in the way. No, I don't want you to. But you know what? Somebody taught me a long time ago, don't steal somebody's blessing. If God puts it on someone's heart to serve you, accept it. This is what the prophet did. Yes, it wasn't at first the way he had to be constrained a little bit, but don't refuse the aid of someone and deprive them of a blessing. Verse number 8, we just read it, but we'll read it again. And so it was that oft as he passed by, he turned in. So he did accept what this Shunammite and her husband were offering him, to be a help to him, to be an encouragement to him. And there will be a time for us to give help, but there's also going to be a time for us to receive help, what others give. Even the Lord Jesus taught us this lesson. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 10? He did come primarily to do what? One word. Serve. Yeah, that's why he came. Serve. He came to serve. He came to seek. Serve. Yep. You know, eventually die. But yes, he was a servant. But he didn't stop people from serving him. And we find this Bible example in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him at her house, and she had a sister called Mary. So clearly, and we're not looking at the whole story in John chapter 11, you can also find out that there was a brother named Lazarus, okay? And we see here, as you study this out and just read it, not to really study it, but they were serving Jesus. Martha, of course, you know, she gets a little bit of a bad rap there, you know, constantly running around serving, and Mary's there. The point is that he was in their home and they were taking care of him. And that I'm sure that happened on more than one occasion. He also was served, Luke chapter 8, verse 3. If you want to turn over there, you can, or I don't know, it might be in your handout. It is? Luke 8, 3, thank you. I probably should have one of those with me. Maybe I'll remember that next time so that I know exactly what's in there. And Joanna, the wife of Chuzza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, notice, which ministered unto him. So it wasn't that Jesus was constantly serve, 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 serve. Jesus also allowed others to serve him. Why? Because they needed to learn. They need to learn how to do that. The Apostle Paul also had those who helped meet his needs, and he thanked them for it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at this one, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. There is a promise that comes to our giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7 starts out, every man, every man, every man. So really, giving ought to be every one of us. According as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, growing, it's going to grow, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work. What is the key? He's talking about giving. When we give, whether we give a little or a lot, depends on what you want. Do you want to reap bountifully, or do you want to reap sparingly? You choose. right? I think everybody would say, I'd like to sow sparingly and reap bountifully. It doesn't work that way, okay? All right, that's not the math of God, all right? That's the math of us, but not the math of God. But notice he says, you'll have everything you need. You'll have everything you need, verse number 8. So this challenges you, this challenges me to be generous to others just as it was in the Bible. It was accepted by the prophet. We can accept that from others. That's not a problem. It's not charity. It's accepting a gift. God will bless the giver. God will bless the receiver. Secondly, letter B, he appreciated her hospitality. He appreciated it. Elisha expressed his gratitude, verbalizing it in verse number 13. As we go back to 2 Kings 4, verse number 13, he said, and he said unto him, say now unto her, he's telling Gehazi his servant, here's a message, take this message back to the Shunammite, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. You've cared for everything we've needed. So now he's got his partner there with him, his servant. Gehazi is involved. And so verbalizing thanks might seem like a small gesture, but we should never underestimate the showing of our gratitude. Always be thankful. Be thankful. Proverbs says this, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word spoken. So let's be grateful. By the way, our appreciation for others can motivate and help them to continue serving the Lord, even when faced with discouragement. And so Elisha appreciated her hospitality, her kindness. So he acknowledged it. Number two, we see Elisha's attitude. Elisha's attitude. What we don't see is a sense of entitlement. Well, that's not necessarily in the outline, but I think we see a lot of entitlement today. What does this mean? This means there is a thought of that we deserve good things and we deserve to be treated in a preferential way. May we as God's people not allow that to come into our mindset, because we deserve, you know, God's judgment. So anything short of God's judgment is a huge victory. And if you're saved, you're not going to be judged by God. So praise the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians 4:7, though, is a great Bible verse to turn over and take a look at with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? In other words, everything we have has been given to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So it is a gift. And the only thing that we have today, the reason why we have what we have, is by the grace of God. By the grace of God. So may that be something that we meditate on. And we don't expect any better treatment. And really, again, like I said, because of God's mercy and grace, we don't have to be judged. But that's what I deserve. I deserve to be judged. Why? Because I'm a sinner. But by the mercy of God, I can be forgiven and I can have God's grace. Letter A, he approached her. He approached her. So not only did he send Gehazi with this message, but also he goes a little bit further into that. And he says in verse number 13, at the middle of the verse, let's just read 13. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us. You've taken care of us. You've been so hospitable with all this care. Then notice, what is to be done for thee? So his gratitude now has gone to, what can I do for you? How can I help you? You've been such a help to me. How can I help you? He wants to return the kindness of the Shunammite back to her. There was a genuineness there, right? And sometimes when we just give that little bit of an inquiry, it opens up a door that maybe we didn't even know was there. We didn't know that they needed a little bit of help over here. We didn't know that they needed this, whatever it may be. And this is what happens here in this. Now, to show the opposite. So we definitely see here that Elisha is showing gratitude. He's expressing that he is very grateful by saying, thank you for taking care of us. Now, how can I help you? But we also see some lack of this in the Bible, And that, unfortunately, is with the nation of Israel. Numbers of times, right? Even shortly after leaving, they said, why are we out here? You brought us out here to die. The Red Sea's in front of them. The Egyptians are breathing down their neck. And then they get past that. And it's, we don't have anything to drink. We don't have anything to eat. And so, again, that's an example that we don't want to follow. And this, we see it in Psalm, actually. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Gratitude. Being thankful. Psalm 78 and verse number 10 says, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works. That's a statement that we want to just concentrate on. They forgot his works and his wonders that he showed them. They forgot about what God had done. They forgot about the deliverer. They forgot about all the blessings. And again, may God help me. May God help you. That we never get so far into something that we're clouded by all that God has done. Believe me, we can get clouded. It'll happen. We can have I'm talking about our mind, right? To where all we can see is what's happening now, and we forget all that God has done. And yet God has done so much for us. It says the same thing in Psalm 106:13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for counsel. And then in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 is an indicator of, even where we are today. And he says in verse 21, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I mean, the rest of it, is really wicked that we look at, and, the change of a man lusting after a man and a woman after a woman, we think of all that as being horrible and terrible, and it is, but Paul also says in there, under divine inspiration, they were unthankful. And so, let's really guard that. Let's really guard that we are grateful and we're thankful for what God has done to us. Elisha said, you've really taken care of us. Thank you. Now, how can we help you? And may God help you and may God help me to have that same type of gratefulness when somebody helps us. Then, letter B, Elisha was attentive to her. He was attentive to her. So he says, what can I do for you? Verse 13, we're back there. What is to be done for thee? And then he kind of gives a suggestion, okay? He had access to the king that she did not have. So he says, wouldest thou be spoken for to the king? I'll put in a good word to the king. What do you need? Or to the captain of the host? I can talk to those people for you. They can help you. Is there any way I can help you? And she says, notice, I dwell among mine own people. You know what? I'll just stay right here. Don't worry about it. We know how to take care of ourselves, and we're not going to worry about that. But notice what happens. This is really neat. So now Elisha turns to Gehazi, verse 14, and he says, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi speaks up, so he's been noticing. Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. So Gehazi's been reaping the benefits of her hospitality. Elisha's been speaking to her, thanking her. How can I help you? Can I speak to the king, the captain of the guard? Now Gehazi, who's taking all this in, he's obviously right near there, and he knows there's something that is on the Shunammite's heart that Elisha didn't pick up on, or he just missed it. And he says to him, she doesn't have a child, and her husband is old. Verse 15, and he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Wow. I mean, talk about confidence and faith. You're going to have a baby in 9 months. Not only that, you're going to have a son in 9 months. You're going to be, not only that, he says, you're going to be holding your son. And she said, nay, my Lord, verse 16, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. You know what that tells me? That's something that's on her heart. This wasn't something that she had given up on, or maybe she had, but this is not the time to be just floating out statements that may or may not happen. Do not lie to thine handmaid. I see a longing there. I see a great desire there. And God is going to bless in a miraculous way, if you know the story. So we see Elisha's acknowledgement. We see his attitude. And then number three, we see his action. So he didn't just let it be with, thank you for your help. He went on the offensive with, you're going to have a baby and you're going to be holding a son in 9 months. Verse 16. Verse 17. And the woman conceived. Isn't it amazing? It's just amazing how the Bible, you know, just boom. I mean, obviously there's things that happen, but God let us know what God wants us to know. And she conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her. This is one of the miracles that Elisha performed. I mean, it was obviously God, but Elisha spoke it out. You're going to have a baby. According to the time of life, he pledged her the greatest gift that she could ever receive, and that she, and that was that she would have a son. More than likely, I'm sure, given up on it. Letter A, Elisha gave affirmation. You know, the Shunammite woman was serving Elisha and then Gehazi, but who was she really serving, as we said earlier? She was really serving God. I think that's one thing that we ought to really remember, is that we have opportunities to serve here at Anchor Baptist Church. Maybe nobody sees us, but remember, God is seeing. But it's not even that we're doing it for this church family. I mean, we are. But really, directly, we're doing it for the Lord. And it's so that he could be glorified by our life. Think about it. We're just one life that's, you know, going to live X amount of years, and we're going to go off into eternity. We're going to be with the Lord if we're saved. Hallelujah. We have eternal life. It's a present possession. I'm so thankful for that. But we can make a valuable difference while we're here, serving others, but really serving the Lord. This is a woman that we're still talking about, and we don't even know her name. And we're talking about her thousands of years later because she said, we need to give that guy a place to stay. We need to, you know, not only give him some bread, we need to have a candle in there. And we need to have a bed in there. We need to have a table in there. We need to take care of him. And you see how God shows us, not just for the Shunammite. This is, you know, all scripture is profitable for all of us today. So this wasn't just a story about a Shunammite woman having a miraculous baby with an older husband, right? Because the Bible said he was old. It was about the story of this is now alive for us to look back on and say, you know what? It may not be that we're going to have a son in 9 months, but God is going to bless in a certain way in God's timing. God is keeping track of all of our service. But her generosity wasn't just to bless Elisha. This is somebody who was going to go from there and speak. He was going to go from there and preach. So think about it. As we are giving to missions, we're not really just giving to these families, but it allows them to go and preach, go and encourage someone, go and speak to this gentleman who is a refugee in a Middle Eastern country who can't go anywhere now. See, so you think about it, whether it's a monetary gift or whether it's a serving type of gift, it's not just for the immediate. It goes way beyond that. And the best part is, when God gets involved, there's no telling what's going to happen with little. Little is much when God is in it. So, as we serve Christ, as we serve others, we are serving Christ. I love the verse, and I think I referred to it recently, about the cup of cold water, Matthew 10:42. Whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. For a cup of cold water. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But that's how God works. The meals, the accommodations, the roof over Elisha and Gehazi's head, it nourished them, it sustained them so that they could carry on the work of God. She wasn't a prophet. She wasn't going. That doesn't mean she's less. She had a part in the work of God, seeing it right here on the pages. We don't read all that Elisha did, but think about it. Each time that he left there, he was recharged to take the word of God, to preach, to teach, whatever, because the Shunammite and her husband served him, served God by serving him. It was God's intention to bestow blessings upon her in return for her faithful service. God intends to reward anyone's faithful service. It may not be on our time schedule, but he will reward. We read it earlier. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, Hebrews 6:10, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. So Elisha gave an affirmation, but let her be. And lastly, God gave the answer. God gave the answer. Of course, Elisha wasn't the one who gave her a child. That was God. Beginning of verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son. She did what exactly Elijah said. But remember, it was Elisha's prayer to God that started this thing rolling. And this, I even heard this tonight in a Bible message earlier. One of the most profound ways you can bless someone is pray for them. Pray for them. That's what I heard a preacher say tonight, and it's right here in these notes as well. One of the best things we can do, if not the best thing we can do for someone, is take their name before the throne of God for whatever the need is, for whatever the purpose is. So that's what Elisha did for her. That was the greatest thing he could do for her. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Much comes out of it. So we can express gratitude toward those who have been kind to us. Maybe we can't express the gratitude back in the same way. It's not about competition. We're not trying to compete with one another and do what. No, but we, you know what? What we can do is we can pray for that individual. We can thank God for the card that they gave us just in time. They gave us a card and it was such an encouragement. We can thank God for the whatever that they did for us, the words that they said even, that were an encouragement. We can pray for them and bring their name before the Lord. The example that we looked at, I think it was some time ago. Of course, I lose track of time. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, I think it is, where the lepers, right? There's 10 that are healed. And I'm sure 10 of them were excited about it. 10 of them were thrilled about it because they were a death sentence. Leprosy was a death sentence. But you know, the text tells us that only one of them turned back and showed any kind of gratitude. Whether you're a junior age in Patch Club, whether you're the most senior one here tonight and everybody between, may God help us to be people of gratitude. May God help us to always say thank you when somebody gives us something, when somebody does something for us. And may God help us to look for ways to express that to others and be helpful to others. Accept it, but also give it. And I pray this will help us as we go in the rest of our week. Let's pray. Heavenly